Would you take your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 is where we'll start, certainly not where we'll stay, and keep your ribbon toward the New Testament, and we'll see some of the Christian responsibilities that are unshakable and unflinching, regardless of who and or what is happening, kind of the heartbeat of where we're going. Let me say this, and I don't know, I feel a little sappy just getting ready to be gone from you all for so long, and my family as well. I'll be gone from them for 18 or 20 days, but I'll be gone from you all for about 30, 31 days. And I've never done that before. I've never experienced that before. And it's a little bit difficult for me and a little bit emotional because over the last 9.5 years, you all are my family. And I'm privileged to be called your pastor, only behind being a child of God, being the husband of that woman and the father to those children. The greatest honor of my life would be to be the pastor of Faith Baptist Church. And I certainly do love you and intend to spend the rest of my life if God will allow me. And I'm asking him and telling him, Lord, I want to be here. I want to love these people. And so far he said, so we're good on that front. But it's a privilege to love you all. And I will say this, it is a pastor's prerogative. It is the prerogative of a shepherd to be concerned for the care of the sheep, particularly in his absence. In fact, we've mentioned that in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter number 9, where Paul tells them, it's the book of Philippians. Almost said Philippines again. I'm sorry. In the absence of Paul, he said, hey, I don't want my labor to be in vain. I want you to continue, and I want you to carry on, and I want you to be strong. And as a pastor, it is my heart's desire that even in my absence, and please understand, I'll say this once, I'll say it in the beginning, this heart and the sermon tonight does not come out of an inflated view of myself that like, hey, you guys aren't going to make it without me. I want you to flourish without me. I want you to be stronger. I want you to step in. I want you to be the church. And I fully trust that that will happen. But one of the things that kind of rings in my heart is Paul speaks of the daily burden that he carries in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. And it's a famous passage. He talks about perils of his own countrymen, perils of robbers, night and the day in the deep and so forth. And he closes out this list of burdens in his heart with this one particular phrase that I can identify with, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. He said, besides all those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And I can testify, first off, thank God I'm not charged with the care of all the churches. I couldn't handle the responsibility the Apostle Paul had, but I will say that I am responsible for the care of the church at Faith Baptist Church in Bakersfield, and that God has made me an overseer and a pastor here, and it's a privilege to serve you all. But daily, it is my responsibility to care for the flock of God. Now, I'll say this, it's not exclusively the care of the pastor or responsibility of the pastor to care for his church, but it is definitely a pastor. Pastor's responsibility to feed the flock and to know the state of his flocks and the flock rather, to feed and to admonish, to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. But life and ministry in this particular stage over the next few weeks hinder me from doing the job I've been given the way I wish I could and would normally do. We've got family responsibilities that are pulling us away this particular time, and then the work of an evangelist will occupy much of the rest of the month. And so this evening, I really do want to come to my church family, and I don't mean that like I own you. I mean it like, hey, my family. You are the people I call home. You are the people I call family. And I want to encourage you and remind you of your responsibility toward each other and to Jesus. And as I said, Paul mentions that he desired that they would obey, yes, in his presence, but even more in his absence. And I fret for you and for our spiritual health and your spiritual health, and I just cannot help it. I fret not because I think you need me, because you have Jesus and you have each other, but I fret because I really do believe we are stronger as a church together. And my family is stronger in your presence. And I hope that your family is stronger in our presence. And that's the way that God designed church to work. And so in my absence, I think about my family. We won't have your encouragement. We won't have your faces to shine and your faces to, you know, to look at and your smiles and your hugs. And in our absence, you won't have some of our gifts. And so I kind of stress about that. And that's kind of my heart, is to care for you. And I'm thankful that that is how it works. I'm thankful the way God designed church is that you're stronger because of me, and hopefully I'm stronger because of you, and you're stronger because of Brother Escobar, and his family stronger because of your family. That's the way church works, and that's how it should work. And so in my absence, I know that you won't receive our gifts, and we won't receive your abilities and your strengths and the things you bring to church as well. And that's a bummer, at least for me. But heavier in this reality is not just my own absence, But the fact that eight of us will be gone. And in that list of eight, there are deacons and staff and leaders and fathers and husbands. And even Brother Gray is going to go to West Virginia to go pick onions the entire time we're in Africa. Not because we're leaving, but because it's onion season in West Virginia. You knew that, I'm sure. And Brother Gray's going to drive literally across the country to go pick onions. So you be in prayer for him. But what that means then is that there's going to be a large amount of us who won't be here at Faith Baptist Church. And I think that that's a big enough group for us to kind of feel that. Those are leaders and fathers and husbands. And I think I can speak on behalf of every one of those men that we hope that our church flourishes in our absence. We hope that Easter is everything it should be. We hope that every Sunday night service is just like tonight, and that every Wednesday night service, we're fired up and we're in the house of God. And we want our church to flourish. We want our families to flourish in our absence. We want them to miss us terribly and cry themselves to sleep, but we want them to flourish. And we certainly do. We do desire for them to flourish, but miss us a little bit, right? But we do desire for our church family to be strong and to attend to the responsibilities of serving Jesus. And to not say, oh, it'll cross your mind like, oh man, these people aren't here. Oh man, it's so empty, or it's this. And you have that choice to make. Like, I'm either going to add insult to injury and withdraw myself and wait for everything to get back to normal, or you're going to pour your life more in to Faith Baptist Church. And that's my heart's desire. And I know for every single man, that's our heart's desire. I want you to grow in our absence, to step up and fill gaps and to take over classes and to make Easter an acceptable sacrifice to honor Jesus. In my heart, I'm like, man, Lord, Brother Mears even on the video conference, he's like, what pastor leaves his church on Easter? And I was like, one that didn't consult the calendar when he agreed to the dates you set out. And I'll rest that it's God's will. And just like us getting stuck in Denver, I rest that it was God's will for you to be the church and for you to love each other and to serve each other and to bring your gifts to the table. And I think that God is just doing something in that. There's going to be holes to fill because there's good men going and there's good men staying and there's opportunities to serve. But here's the reality. In the absence of whoever, two things remain unchanged. One, you are the church. And two, Jesus is worthy of everything he asked for from us.
Amen.
Whether I'm here, he's here, they're there, they're not there, this group is gone, this family moves, two things remain completely unchanged. You are the church, and Jesus is worthy of everything he has asked us to do. And that task and responsibility does not change regardless of who is present and who is not present, regardless of who is preaching and who is not preaching. Those responsibilities remain entirely unchanged. And so we're going to visit some of those unchanging responsibilities that the church has to itself and to its Savior. And so let's pray a little bit tonight, and we're going to just jump in and see six different things across Scripture the Lord laid on my heart. And again, it's not a normal sermon. I don't try to normally preach out of my own heart. But as a pastor who's getting ready to leave the flock for 31 days, these are the bleedings of my heart that I desire that God's people would hear and heed and pay attention to, that these jobs do not change regardless of guest speakers or brother so-and-so in the pulpit or that class isn't being taught by this person or this ball got dropped. There's still unchanging responsibilities that God put on his church that don't flinch. They don't even flinch. So let's pray and ask God's blessing. Lord, would you guide us? Lord, I love these people. I know that you know that. I hope that they know that. And I hope that nobody in here thinks that I've got an inflated view of self. And Lord, you know my heart. It's prone to pride for sure. But Lord, genuinely, I'm just trying to shepherd the flock that you've made me overseer of. And God, want to encourage them to stand strong as some of the next month is going to be a little bit different. And there'll be different people leading and different people leading music and different people taking Sunday school classes and different people greeting. And Father, that doesn't subtract from any of the responsibilities that church has been given. And I'm thankful, Lord, that we're stronger together. And I'm stronger because of them, and I hope they're stronger because of me. But, Lord, regardless of who is leading and shepherding in this time, you still are the good shepherd. And you still have called us as a church to certain obediences, certain things that every one of us who will be gone, we have to do them too. In the absence of our entire church family, we are responsible for these things too. But, Lord, they're responsible for them as well. And I pray, God, that this would be a healthy time. It would definitely be a different time, but I pray it'd be a healthy time. I pray that we'd lean into this special opportunity of stewardship. And, Lord, I'm excited that I think we're preparing for future things, that we begin to send out other missionaries from our church, and we begin to take other trips and send other men and other families and their wives and their kids to go do the work of evangelism across the globe. And so, Lord, I pray that we would have a heart that is just, it's grounded and it's rooted in realities that do not change. And I pray that you'd help us tonight just to learn a couple things and be reassured of a few things. And Lord, I pray you give my family peace this week as we travel, and let us be a blessing to my father-in-law and to my mother-in-law. I pray you'd be with my wife and my kids. I pray, God, you'd comfort them and that you'd help us, Lord, through this particular season of life. And Lord, we are just grateful to be called your children. We're grateful that your call never changes, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that, God, you are always with us and never distant. And Lord, we thank you for that. I pray that we would take some time and really align our hearts and make some decisions ahead of time to not fall off the face of the earth over the next month, but God, to be faithful to the stewardship responsibilities you've given us. And so, Lord, help us to examine our own hearts tonight. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. So let's just jump in. I've got six of them, and I hope to be concise. I hope to be clear, and so I want to give them to you. Would you go to Psalm chapter number 96? So we're going to talk about six responsibilities that remain unchanged regardless of the circumstance. And this doesn't just apply to this next month. This applies when I'm back, and this applies in 6 years from now. These are responsibilities that you and I cannot escape from. And I would guess that many of you probably could start putting together that list in your own head and heart, and all of them are going to be backed up by Scripture. But number one, every Christian has the responsibility to be faithful to come and worship Jesus, okay? Regardless of who's in the pulpit or who's leading music, whether it's your favorite person's style, and I really like how they sing or I really like how they lead, you have an unchanging responsibility to come to the place where God's people meet with God and community and worship Jesus. So I want you to see that. This is an unflinching reality, regardless of anything. We are responsible to come and lift up the name of Jesus. So look at Psalm 96, verse number 1. We're just going to read a little bit. It's a great passage. Psalm 96, verse number 1 says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth." So everybody is responsible for this. "Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day." Regardless of who's in the pulpit, day to day, show forth the praise of his salvation. Verse 3, "Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised." That's not going to change this month. "And he is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary." Verse number 7, "Give unto the Lord. O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth." That ought to be a mantra for your family. That no matter what happens, we're going to come before the Lord. We owe him these dues. This is a responsibility that we have to God to give him glory, to give unto the Lord strength and honor, to fear him above all the gods. He is greatly to be praised, to show forth his salvation, declaring his glory to all the world and blessing his name. This is something we are responsible for. My family, while we're gone, are responsible for this particular thing. So when we're not here, man, when God's people meet on Wednesday, we're supposed to be in church. Because we owe that bill too. We owe that due, that fee, if you will. And as we're off on the missions trip, this missions team is responsible to do the same thing, to give the glory and the honor to Jesus and worship him. Brother Gray is going to have to stop picking onions on Sunday so he can go worship Jesus. And I know that he will, so I can kind of pick on him. Because the glory is due. And the honor is due, and the worship is due. And it ought to be a commitment of our heart to faithfully show up and to surrender that which belongs to him, and that in particular, worship, to not abandon those collective church responsibilities. So let me say, wherever you are, you should be worshiping Jesus. If you're on vacation, again, this doesn't apply just to this month. If you're on vacation in a year from now, you should be worshiping Jesus. That's a responsibility that no matter where you are or who's around you, that's a responsibility God's people have to worship Jesus. If you're out of town, worship Jesus with the saints. If you're in town, Faith Baptist Church, be in your place. Be in the house of God. Don't remove your responsibility. Don't think, well, pastor will never know. I probably will. Brother Josh and Brother Escobar are going to take attendance. You're going to get a text from me at 2:30 in the morning on whatever day it is. I know you weren't in church. It's 10 a.m. right now. Now, I will know, but the fact of the matter is, you want to be doing it for Jesus because you owe that to him. That glory is due his name. That worship is due to him. And at the same time, and we'll see this in a second, but Ephesians chapter 5 talks about singing. And it says, speaking unto yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That idea of speaking to yourselves is not about singing to yourself. It's about speaking to each other, to admonish and encourage each other. This is something that is a universal, inescapable responsibility that you and I share. Every Christian has the responsibility to worship God. I want you to notice, secondly, would you go to Romans chapter number 10? Romans chapter number 10. Every Christian has a responsibility to be faithful to come and hear the word of God. You absolutely, and I absolutely have this responsibility to listen when the word of God is preached. You understand, and we spend a lot of time on this idea, but the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. It is the place that the truth is supposed to be elevated and lifted up. That's not CBN. That's not YouTube. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. It's the place that the word of God is lifted and heralded. And we don't come here because of who's here. We come here because the word of God is going to be preached, right? We come to hear this process of the word of God being imparted to God's people. It's something he ordained, though it may be foolish to the world. It's chosen by God. And listen, it is to be preached at Faith Baptist Church. And here's the thing. It will be preached at Faith Baptist Church by good godly men on Wednesday night. And then on Sunday, there'll be good godly men in the pulpit on Sunday morning and in Sunday school and in Sunday night. But listen, the man doesn't matter. Who's in the pulpit should not matter. It doesn't matter if it's me preaching or Brother Bob preaching or Brother Magno preaching or Brother Escobar or Brother Jim preaching. If the word of God is preached, the word of God is powerful and it's sharp and it pierces and it's worthy of being listened to. I get it. We all have favorite preachers. People who have, I like that delivery style and I like that delivery style. And that's fine. That's part of being human, right? It's okay to have preferences and I enjoy this. But the fact of the matter is that the word of God is being preached and it's being preached properly, you ought to thank God you have a place to go and listen to that. Because how many of us have ever been in a church at one point in our either saved life or lost life, we were in churches, the word of God wasn't being faithfully preached. It wasn't being expounded on carefully. It wasn't being rightly divided. And God has blessed our church with great staff and great men who can handle the word of God and rightly divide it. And it's the Christian's responsibility to come and let that meat be fed to them and let that meat be fed to them, or that milk be fed to them, desiring that sincere milk so you may grow. I think about what Paul said. Go to Acts chapter 20, if you would. Paul's getting ready to leave Ephesus, and he's on his way to Jerusalem. And they've already told him, and Luke's tried to plead with him, and the people there in Ephesus have tried to plead with him. Don't go to Jerusalem. You're going to be bound. You're going to be arrested. And Paul says, hey, none of these things move me. Neither counted I my life dear unto myself. And then he leaves them with this admonishment. And I don't even want to pretend to like dramatic acclaim, like this is how I feel tonight. But a little bit, this is how I feel tonight. I'm getting ready to leave my church family. I'm obviously not, I hope I'm not going to be bound and arrested and killed in Florida or Africa. But I want you to see what Paul says as he's leaving these people he loves. Listen to what he commends them to in Acts chapter 20, verse 32. He says, and now, brethren, he's speaking to these men. I commend you to God. I'm giving you over to him and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I love that. Paul says, we may never see each other again. And in fact, he doesn't. And I'm leaving you, but I'm not leaving you alone. I'm leaving you. I'm commending you to the care of the God who created and redeemed you. But I'm also commending you to the care of the word of grace. And the word of grace is able, it says right there, able to build you up. In my absence or my presence, the word of God is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. And I love the confidence that Paul had to say, hey, saints, I trust you're going to be okay. You're in God's hands and the word of God's hands. And so church family, I can say the same. Hey, you stay close to God and you come to hear the word of God, you're going to be just fine without us eight men and without my family for a week. You're going to be okay because you belong to him and you belong to his care. And you also belong to the word of God's care. And so listen, some of us will be gone, but he won't. And this won't. Yep. This will be preached from this pulpit faithfully every single service. So what should God people do? Be faithful to every single service, to come and hear the word of God preached, to give attendance to the readings, to make much of the book because this book is able to build you up. It is able to give you an inheritance, something laid up in heaven for yourself by obedience to this word. So again, oh, this person's more dry and that person talks too slow and that guy's long-winded or whatever your fleshly reason is, crucify it. Get it out of the way. If God's word's being preached and my church family's gathering, I'm going to be there. And again, this is just pastor talking, but I'm talking with the authority of scripture behind it. That's your responsibility and it's my responsibility. But notice number one, to come to worship. That's a responsibility. Number two, to come to hear the word. That's a responsibility. But number three, go to Hebrews chapter number 10. And you know where I'm going with this. Hebrews 10, 23 and 24. We are to be faithful to come and edify the brethren. It's so selfish to think, yeah, it's not going to be good enough for me. You're looking at church all the wrong way. You don't go to church like a restaurant. I'll not go to a restaurant because the service is bad and the food's not good. That's not how church is. Church is a family. I'm not just showing up to get fed. I'm showing up to feed. I'm showing up to be a part of that process. I'm showing up to edify my brothers and my sisters. And the author of Hebrews nails this down clearly. And you might recognize Hebrews 10, you know, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. That's true. But don't forget what he says before that. Look at Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. He says, hey, do what you're supposed to do because he's faithful. He's unchanging. He's present. He never leaves. He's never not present. So be faithful. Verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, how would we do that? By not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. This is not just an admonishment to not skip church. This is an admonishment to come and edify the brethren and not skip church so that you can edify the brethren. This entire heart of the text right here is about building up your church family and not forsaking them. And so again, I get it. There's going to be some people missing. But you know what that also means? There's going to be some families here on Sunday without dad. There'll be some families going through Easter without dad. There's going to be some wives without husbands. There's going to be some teachers without, or some classes without teachers. And listen, they shouldn't abandon ship. You shouldn't abandon ship. Nobody should. Be a part of this unique stewardship our church has, to be the church. Even as a part of the church is gone for an extended period of time, don't let the devil tell you to watch online. That's one of my more frustrating advances in church technology. Like, it is a huge blessing to people who can't drive at night, or somebody's, you know, they've had surgery and they physically can't come, or they're sick and they physically can't come. But I also know how convenient Satan makes it. Like, you can just watch online. Can I just say, if there's not a legitimate reason for you to do that, try the spirits when that comes. When there's that inclination to say, yeah, I'll just catch it. I'll still listen to the preaching. I want to invite you to kind of weigh, where's that coming from? Is that God saying, you know, I know there's people at the church who probably need your smile and probably need your handshake and probably need to be encouraged by you, but you go ahead and you sit at home and turn on the TV. Which spirit you think is calling you to that? Because I don't need to pray about something God already told me to do. You see what I'm saying? I don't need to pray, should I be in the house of God? If God already told me to be in the house of God, Lord, have you changed your forever settled in heaven word of God? No? Okay. Again, this is important. And part of the reason for church is to come and edify the saints. Don't forsake it. No. Rather, provoke one another to love and good works. Listen, somebody at Faith Baptist Church is going to need you over the next 31 days. You have a chance to be a real blessing, to fill in some big gaps. A lot of our altar workers are gone during this trip. A lot of our teachers are gone. A lot of our greeters are gone. What an opportunity for you to step in and fill some of those shoes and some of those responsibilities. I'm not suggesting if you're not on this trip, you're not responsible and not an asset, not at all. I'm simply saying that there's some really key players that won't be in church services for us to be able to step in. So number one, we have a responsibility to worship God. Number two, we have a responsibility to come and hear the word of God. Number three, we have a responsibility to edify the saints. And number four, would you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5? We have a responsibility to encourage the preachers.
Amen.
Okay, and I'm gonna meddle here, and I'm sorry. I've got the weight of scripture behind me, so I'm going to talk a little bit about it. But help a brother out, okay? When someone's standing behind the pulpit, and I'm not advocating for me, I've been doing this long enough. I'm okay. I can preach to an empty room. I can preach to a large room. But the fact of the matter is, I remember learning a very obvious truth as a youth pastor that I felt like teens didn't catch. And I would always tell them this, Brother Hunter, you've heard it as a teenager all the time. How many of you can see me? And I'd ask them to raise their hand. Everybody raise their hand. And I would say, that means I can see you. And I don't mean to be condescending, but like, if you can see my face, I can see your face, 100%. And me being able to see your face sometimes is a blessing to the preacher. Sometimes the faces are present and they're pleasant. Sometimes as a preacher, the faces are less pleasant and less present. But I'm not advocating for me. I feel like I've learned to live with it, right? And march on. I do this for like an actual living. I preach 4 times a week at a minimum. I've preached in front of large crowds and empty auditoriums and supportive crowds. I've been heckled during services, never at Faith Baptist Church. Praise God for that. But I remember, Brother Hunter was there as a teenager. I was preaching at a rest home in Lompoc, and one of the ladies said, "Shut up, you're fat." And I was like, "And you're old." No, I'm kidding. I didn't say that. You can ask my wife and my kids. I preached out of town within the last year. And the entire sermon, I was being heckled by a 21-year-old girl. And I was like, you're going to stop. Somebody tell her. Nobody told her to stop. So I went over afterwards and I was like, she like got in my, and I was like, I am not afraid of a 21-year-old girl. I was like, I got the word of God. I'm going to go back to my church. They love me. You don't intimidate me. But the entire service, she's heckling me, right? So I've developed some skills in preaching to the sleeping or to the seething person, right? But not every person who's going to fill the pulpit has some of that. And I'm not pretending to be super experienced, but you can get used to some of that thing. But the fact of the matter is, when somebody gets up here to preach, you ought to be in your place. There's not a lot of things more discouraging. And I try not to bring it to the pulpit because the people who are here, man, you came to be fed. There's not a lot of things more discouraging when you have labored in the word and you have fasted for that service and you get up and half the crowd is asleep and half the crowd is not present. That's a really hard thing to do. And so let me advocate for the men, both some staff, some non-staff, who will fill the pulpit. Be an encouragement to the people who labored in the word for your behalf. That's not a light thing. In fact, I'll show it to you. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. It says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. Not yes, pastors, but they're not the only ones who labor for you in the word. It says, and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Those people who admonish you and encourage you and lead you in the scripture, what are you supposed to do to them? Verse number 13, and to esteem them very highly in love. Why? Because they hold an office? No. It's not just about that office. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. You ought to esteem those who are going to labor this month for you. They have studied, they have stressed, they have lost peaceful sleep, they have worked diligently to rightly divide the word of truth. They don't want to be ashamed. The people who are going to fill this pulpit know the responsibility of handling the word correctly, and they've labored and worked. Why? To feed you. And esteem them very highly for their work's sake. They're worthy of your attendance and your support. You don't come for them, you come for Jesus. But be here and be in the preacher's corner. I do love the end of verse number 13. I'm just going to hit on this one real quick. Look at the very end. It says, and be at peace among yourselves. Can I just say, church family, don't fight while I'm gone, right? Brother Josh and Brother Escobar do not need to cut their teeth on church discipline in the absence of this time. Please, don't do that. Don't send the text message. Wait till we get back, okay? Don't send the text message, period, okay? Don't assume motive. Don't put that passive-aggressive Facebook post up, right? Be at peace for the sake of your leaders. Be at peace. So the idea to come and support your preachers and honor them. The first thought is be responsible toward worship. We have a responsibility to hear the word of God, to edify the saints, and toward leadership, those who are preaching to you. I want you to go to Revelation chapter number 1. And these last two are going to be quick, but they're so deeply burned in my heart. If I have one thing I wish I could change about this month, it's that I'd like to be here for Easter. But you know, the fact of the matter is, we have a responsibility to recognize the Lord's resurrection, regardless of who's in the pulpit. I mean, Jesus conquered the grave. That is worthy of your attendance to celebrate, right? That is 100%. That demands our attention. I love this passage in Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 17. It says, and when I saw him, John speaking of Jesus, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Jesus is him that was dead and now lives and lives forevermore. And he holds the keys of death and hell himself. It is an amazing thing to come and recognize who Jesus is and what he did. So can I just encourage you, church family, come and celebrate that. Like, get excited about that. We were talking, Brother Magno was mentioning it. I think Brother Hunter made an announcement about something about us celebrating Easter in Africa. And it was like, oh yeah, we can celebrate Easter in Africa. Because to me, I'm like, oh, I'm not celebrating my church family. But you know what's true in a different time zone? Jesus is still risen. You know what's true with just 8 of us on the other side of the globe? Jesus is still risen. You know what's true of Faith Baptist Church without him and them? Jesus is still risen. So come and enjoy that. Celebrate that. Worship him for that. Sing your heart out on Easter morning. Get excited about that, that opportunity. And like I said, we're going to celebrate the resurrection in Zambia. I don't know what the service is going to be like, but FBC is bringing the party, man. There's 8 of us. And there's only like two of people from another church, so we're bringing the party. And we're going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is to me, the most exciting week of the year. And I wish I could share the excitement with you, but I'm going to share the excitement with the Zambian people. And we're going to be excited about it. I don't think I'm going to preach, and that's weird to me. But I'm so excited about celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So don't forget that. Don't lose that excitement. I know things might be a little bit different, but don't lose the fact that he holds the keys of death and hell. This is him who is alive and was dead and is alive forevermore. And then lastly, and this is just to close out the thought, it is the Christian's responsibility to share the gospel message with people, and particularly as it relates to Easter. I want to encourage God's people to lift Jesus up and don't think, well, I'd invite you to Easter, but it's, you know, no. You go get those people and tell them what Jesus did, and you pray for Brother Josh and Brother Escobar as they preach, and let the house of God be full, and let Jesus be lifted up, and he will do the drawing of all men to himself. I was telling Brother Hunter, I'm amazed Moises, who got saved last week after the service, and his whole entire family here this morning, he got saved after a sermon on giving.
Come on.
I like barely mentioned the gospel. God can do anything with anything. He can save by few or by many. He doesn't need an army. He doesn't need anything, but he invites us to be a willing group of participants. And so as the gospel goes out this season, can I just encourage you to be in your place? To share Easter with somebody. There'll be a special saturation Saturday, the Saturday before Easter. You need to be a part of that. You need to share that with people. You need to take some Easter tracts with you to work and invite your friends and invite your family to hear the word of God preached. And so can I just encourage you to be a faithful witness of Jesus? And let me just say this in closing. I love you all deeply, dearly, and I will miss you immensely. But again, thank you for allowing me the grace to walk into this storm, kind of hand in hand with my family, and then also the grace to go and do the work of an evangelist. And really, my heartbeat is not to be on a mission field continuously year over year, but I've never done it, so I don't know how to lead a church into evangelizing the world. And so this trip, I go. The next trip,
come on.
You go.
Come on.
The reason we picked some of the guys we picked is to say, okay, and in the end of the year or the following year, you're going to lead a group of six people to over there. You're going to lead a group of five people over there. There'll be plenty of time to cut your teeth on it. And it's my job to pastor you and to equip you. But I got to know where we're going. I don't want to be a travel agent sending you to places that I don't even know how this works. And so again, I do believe the greatest days of Faith Baptist Church are ahead.
Amen.
But don't let him steal the momentum.
Yes, sir.
Don't let Satan steal the unity of the church. Don't let him steal the joy of being in the house of God and singing to Jesus and worshiping Jesus. Don't let him even remotely suggest that it's just not the same. And I get it that it won't be the same. I want you to cry every single night that you missed me. No, I'm just kidding. I don't. I want you to flourish. I want God to meet in every service. I want the singing to be better than it's ever been. Because I believe that God is present and the responsibilities haven't changed and that God's people are present. So please, can I just admonish you as your pastor to stay strong, to be in your place, to love Jesus, and I commend you to the Lord and to the word of his grace. Let's pray.